So, our first topic today is on communication. And like many of our topics that we've talked about this weekend, we will be building on these. This isn't the first time that you will hear this topic. We're going to start with small pieces and build on them. So belonging, nature-based activities, communication, those you will see repeated over and over again. Communication can be simple yet very complicated. I know in my house right now, I have four teenagers at home and a husband, and communication isn't always perfect in this setting. And even though I have a practice of mindfulness and I've studied some nonviolent communication and compassionate communication, sometimes those skills are not readily accessible. So it is definitely an edge for me, and the communication between parents and teenagers sometimes is fraught with a lot of stuff. So that's where I am in my communication journey. Also, I notice, you know, with the people I'm closest to are often the sometimes the most challenging communication situations because we are so close. We live in close proximity. We're doing a lot of things together. And there's lots of opportunity for annoyance and irritation, you know, with each other, frankly. So even though I love them, that comes up. So we're going to be looking at communication through a lens of nonviolent communication. Has anybody heard of that before? Okay. And compassionate communication, which is closely related and also has some differences. Nonviolent communication was developed in the 60s by Marshall Rosenberg, and he was a psychologist. And the basic principle of NVC, also called NVC for short, is that all humans share basic needs and sometimes our negative or unpleasant emotions stem from unmet needs. So a lot of the practice of nonviolent communication is learning how to express your own needs clearly without blaming and shaming and criticizing, and practicing actively listening and validating the needs of people. And so there's a process that we do this with. We're not going to get into the needs, the feelings and needs list so much this weekend. We're going to start a little slower. Another person that sort of informs my perspective, our perspective on communication is Orrin J. Sofer. I don't know if any of you know him. He has a great book called Say What You Mean. He, I think he's a therapist, but I'm not 100% sure. I think he is. He uses NVC, but he really calls what he does compassionate or mindful communication. He has a Buddhist-based philosophy in what he brings, and he brings his work into big corporations like Apple, and he has a really great website, and he offers courses, and we'll share some of his work with you in the homework, I'm sure. I have a couple of slides I wanted to share. So let's get this turned on. A very high-tech communication here. My tripod's a little wonky. Okay, I cannot seem to get this thing to go away. It won't close. That's really off. Yeah, some of this, sorry. Well, that's how it's going to be for now. Yeah. So, communication mindful communication can be summed up really simply: what we say, how we say it, and how we listen. And if you think of it mathematically, and this is sort of how I teach it to kids when I've had an opportunity, is if you thought of an equation for communication, communication equals, there's a communicator, there's a message, and there's a listener. So we're going to do a little activity where I will be the communicator, you're the listener, and I have a message. Okay, so I need everybody to take a piece of paper. So what I would like you to do, I'm going to give you some instructions on what to do this paper, and just complete the activity for yourself using your own sheet of paper. So I want you to hold the sheet up in front of you. I would like you to close your eyes and carefully listen to my instructions. Okay, so there's no need for pens or anything, just we're going to be folding and tearing. Just so you know. So close your eyes and listen to my instructions. The rules are no peeking and no questions. So let's see how my message comes across. The first thing I want you to do is to fold your sheet of paper in half. Now, tear off the upper right-hand corner. Fold the sheet of paper again in half. And tear off the upper left-hand corner. Fold it in half again, and tear off the lower right-hand corner. Okay, so now go ahead and open your eyes and unfold your paper. If I did a good job communicating and you did a good job listening, then all of our sheets should look the same, right? So, what was the point of this exercise? What does it tell us about communication? And what could have made it better? So just, go ahead.
Jane. How we interpreted which way to fold, you know, what was up or down could be different for everyone as far as the corners.
Right, our interpretation. Right, what else?
You can hear things differently.
You hear things differently.
Details.
Details.
What was not being said.
Right. Like which way to hold it, which way to fold it. Yeah.
What a voluntary filling in the dots just to move to the next piece. Like, I guess that's what you meant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then move forward.
It reminds me of that, you don't know what you don't know. Like,
right.
I don't know that I'm missing information, but, you know, like, if I was to ask more, I would learn a lot more details. But I don't know that I don't know that. I just...
Right.
I think my interpretation is what you're saying.
Right.
Or what you're thinking.
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing what you say. Yeah.
Right. Making assumptions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure what she means, but maybe she means this. Mm-hmm. So I'll just assume.
And clearly in communication, you know, it's not don't ask questions. You know, we can ask questions. We don't keep our eyes closed. But we often make a lot of assumptions. And that is part of our nature. It's part of our brain's natural thing to fill in blanks, to make things easier for us to understand. And sometimes our assumptions work and sometimes they don't work. And so this was just a fun little way to show how our communication can get confused. And this was pretty low stakes, you know, it wasn't like anyone was gonna get in trouble, but sometimes the communication is higher stakes. Any other thoughts about this or what came up for them?
I kept on wondering what the end goal was. What is it supposed to look like? Mm-hmm. And then I worried about being the only person who would have it wrong. Mm-hmm. That everyone else would have like the same thing which you have in mind and that I just, for some reason,
way off. Right.
It made me feel better that everyone was kind of
fine. I also was, because I didn't really know exactly what you were saying, I kept thinking, wait, I have to fold it and orient it in such a way that there is a corner to tear off. What if there's no corner?
So there was some self-talk happening.
Yeah, like panic. Right.
Anybody else have that I want to do it right kind of thing?
I was a bit irritated and so like, can you slow down a bit? Okay. Which way do you want me to fold it? That way or that way? And I was sort of like going around and stuff.
Okay, so some irritation, annoyance come up?
I started thinking about, is it my right or is it my left? Right.
Yeah, there were a lot of questions that could have been asked that didn't get answered. And sometimes this happens in our lives. We're not able to ask questions. We have to make decisions and choices. And sometimes those are correct. Sometimes it doesn't matter which way it goes. And sometimes it does. So,
I was just going to say, as sort of more of a visual learner, and I do, in groups, will like look around just to validate what I'm doing, or like in yoga class, you know, I can hear the instructor, but I like to say, okay, what does that look like? And looking at people, so that was a challenge.
This is what's happening. Let's see what happens.
Not having those other ways of learning. And,
Carolyn?
And Steph, I don't know if you did this on purpose, but the at the end, there was sort of a, if it's not what I want, you're wrong.
Right. And, I did that on purpose. Sorry.
I know this is just a, you know, playful activity to make a point, but there was a piece of me that was like, no, not. So, you know, like, it's not my fault. You did that on purpose.
So how we go to, it's not me. No, it's not my fault.
Right.
That happens in a lot of communication with teenagers. Did you know? It's not my fault that my room looks like this. I had a thought and then it lost me. Just to say, so much comes up in this little activity about what happens in communication that actually matters more. And notice the self-talk that comes up very quickly about doing it right, doing it the right way. What if I can't be that way? So that's even aside from communication, but informs how we communicate and how we interact with other people. So getting to know our own ways of communication and our own stuff that arises. I know I have that defensiveness sometimes when, because I really like to be accurate in what I do. And when I can't be, I feel that like, but wait a second, you know, why is it not my fault? When it's obvious, I own it, but sometimes it's hard. Okay, you can set aside your snowflakes.
What?
Wait, I want to see it. Can you hold them up one more time?
I think we should take a picture.
Yeah, I love mine.
This would be a good.
Can you take a picture?
Yeah.
Because mine is recording.
What it's supposed to look like.
Right.
That you have to get in the middle.
Which every time I've done this, it's looked different.
Some
of us have
gone.
Take a few photos.
So, I'm going to stop this. The next thing we're going to do is a mindful listening and speaking exercise. so